Welcome to episode 415 of the podcast. Today, I want to talk about what are the lessons that I've learned from hosting 400 episodes of the podcast. When the journey started just 3 years ago, it seemed like I was going to be doing this for at least 10 years. That's what I determined for myself. And what I've learned along the way in the first 3 years have been so remarkable. I've met so many incredible people, and I've interviewed so many of my heroes, so many of my friends, so many people who inspire me in some way. And because of that, I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about that, to talk about the learnings from the process. This isn't going to be so much learnings from the guests, because I could do three learnings per episode, which is what I've started to do actually, and post on Twitter at Hey Danny Miranda. And I'm also going to be posting that on my website, three learnings from every episode in a special email. So make sure you sign up for the email at dannymiranda.com. But this is going to be from my perspective. What have I learned? What have I gained? And what would I pass along to someone listening or watching in their own pursuits, whether they're starting a podcast or doing something else? So let's get into the lessons. The first is that the success of your show is based on how much you believe. Do you believe it'll work? Do you really believe in all your heart that what you are putting out into the world is going to make a difference? It's going to make an impact. It's going to change the way people think. You have the ability, you have the skills to get the most out of people. That's a huge thing to understand, to really sit with. And if you don't believe, you're hampering the ability of the show. And when you do believe, you're going the extra mile. You're willing to ask yourself time and time again, how can I make this better? And actually do it. And I've often spoken about three different sections of the podcast. The first year, where I really did believe it would work out. The second year, I had much less belief because I'd done it over 100 times. And I said to myself, why isn't this working? So from 0 to 150, I believed. From 150 to 250, I really did not believe. That was the second year of the podcast. And then from 250 on, it's been a gradual increase in the amount that I've believed that this show could actually work. And because of that, I've seen it start to work more and more. I've seen that the questions I'm asking are lighting people up in new ways. I'm seeing a group of people online get excited about the mission that I'm excited about, which is elevating the consciousness of humanity and helping people be all they can be, right? To me, that is all the juice of this podcast, and that's what I'm really trying to do with the show. And I didn't believe in the second year that that was actually possible, but I've seen as other people have reflected their own belief, I've started to believe even more as well. So that's the first thing. Whatever you do, make sure you believe and figure out how to grow that belief. And you have two different camps here. One is David Senra saying, belief comes before ability. But the other is Alex Hormozi, you only believe after you have an undeniable stack of proof that you are who you think you are. I don't know which is correct, but I know that my own belief has fallen in alignment with the success of the show. So that's something to keep in mind. The second thing that I've learned from the podcast is how to ask great questions. What are great questions? Well, great questions are questions that help people learn something about themselves. They give a new perspective. And what's been interesting is I often hear in everyday conversation, wow, that's a great question. Wow, that changed the way I thought about this. Wow, you got something out of me that I didn't know what was inside of me. And I'm honored every time I hear this, but I know it's a direct result of doing the podcast over 400 times because this never happened before. And if you want to know the specific great questions that I'm asking, I recommend going through my course, Art of Interviewing, I have a 100+ page PDF of incredible questions. Questions that I've collected from doing 3,000 hours of research on the craft of podcasting. And artofinterviewing.com is where to find it. You could also check it out down below. But asking great questions is an unlock to not only getting the most out of your own life, but it's an unlock to getting the most out of everyone's lives you interact with. So becoming great at, I mean, how come in school there's no class that just like a great questions class? To me, that would help increase the richness of so much. And now it's like the questions are part of my soul and asking questions is part of me. So that's a big one for lesson number two. Number three, how do I land big time guests? You can see the actual process in artofinterviewing.com, but the truth is I land big time guests because people can tell that I'm on a mission greater than myself. And here's what I mean. A lot of the big time guests that I've had on, the guests that have been the needle movers, the guests that people recognize in some way, people like Alex Hormozi or Layla Hormozi or Andy Frisella, they've come through referrals. And the referrals have come because the people who are referring them to be on my show really believe in me, really believe in what I'm doing here, really believe in the questions and how I can hopefully get something out of them that they might not be able to get out of themselves if they were just sitting down with a camera in front of their face. And so I land big time guests by one, having a clear vision of where I'm trying to go, by two, putting in work, and three, remaining open to people. The actual process of sending DMs and messages to me are less than just having a clear vision and mission and staying consistent on it for a long time. I've been doing this now for 3 years. That's going to look like nothing in 3 more years. That's also going to look like nothing in 3 more years after that. Someone who's been doing something for 9 years, you know that what they're doing is in alignment with their soul. So you're more likely to say, hey, friend, that happens to be an amazing person, you should go on the show because I know the host really cares about what he's doing. So I've been able to land big time guests by being in alignment with my soul's mission. So it's a little, maybe an unusual answer for when people ask. They're all the tactics, and I go through the tactic in artofinterviewing.com, but it's not about the tactics. It's about doing something that's in alignment with myself. Number four, how do I do research? So this is a common question I get as well. And how I do research is by asking myself, how can I put myself in this person's shoes? So how can I live as much in their history as I can? So I go through their Twitter, I go through Google, I go through the different parts of themselves that they may have forgotten. If you pull up a tweet from someone 3 years ago, do they remember writing that tweet? Do they remember who they were when they wrote that tweet? They might, but they also might have forgot that they even mentioned that online in any place. And so for me, I'm trying to give someone a new perspective on themselves. How do you give new perspective on someone? You go through their history because that's the part of themselves that they might have forgotten. So I do research and I break down the tactics in the course that's out, but it's really about the mindset, the framing of it. I'm trying to bring that person to understand themselves better in a new light. And so that's how I do research. Number five, who are my biggest influences for being a great interviewer or researcher? I've learned that three people really stand out to me. One is Sean Evans, two is Nardwar, and three is Tim Ferriss. I think all of these people are so good at getting the most out of other their guests. They're so good at getting the most out of them. And I've learned from doing this 400 times, this is how I like to do it. And so if you had asked me probably episode one, who are my biggest influences for being a podcaster, I would probably say Joe Rogan. I'd probably say Tim Ferriss too. But I found Sean Evans, I found Nardwar because I've asked myself, who is similar to the type of interviewer that I would like to be? I also really appreciate Stephen Bartlett for being almost like a therapist or psychologist of someone's mind. I love that aspect of Stephen Bartlett. And I've learned that you find the person that you want to emulate after doing the work a little bit. Because what you think it will be, or what you think you will be when you do the work, is different than what it actually is often. And so this points to the fact that we don't know who our role models are going to be often until we've actually done some work to get to the point where we can use that those role models. The sixth lesson I've learned. How has your ability to connect with others outside of the podcast improved since you started the podcast? That's from Rob Coles. And this to me is why I continue to do the show. This to me is the most important thing. The better you get at connecting with people, the better your life will be. Really sit with that. The better you get at connecting with other human beings, the better your life will be. Hence, I continue to ask myself, how can I get better at connecting with other human beings? One, because it feels great. It feels like our natural state. But two, because it makes life so much more rich. If you can really sit there and hold space for someone to be as they truly are in that moment with no judgment, just an attempt to help them learn one or two more things about themselves, I mean, come on. That life is good. That life is really good. And I've always felt that there, when I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, there was something there. There was something there to explore. There was something there to unpack. There was somewhere there to grow. If you don't feel comfortable in your own skin right now, there's something that's holding you back. Because do you think a five-year-old or a three-year-old before going to elementary school is thinking about being comfortable in their own skin? No, every three-year-old you know is running around, jumping around, and feeling love for life and joy. I would hope so, you know, and I think that if you don't feel like that three-year-old, if you don't feel like you're just jumping around for joy and that you can just be in any room and it can be all good, and that you trust yourself to say the right thing, and even if you say the wrong thing, you're comfortable with that. To me, that's life. That's the state that I hope everyone can get to at some point. And I've realized that from doing the podcast, it has allowed me to get to that state, because you're forced to have all these different people in front of you, and you're forced to ask questions to them, and you're forced to sit in moments with them, and you're forced to say, why does this person believe this? Why do I believe this? Why does this thing make me uncomfortable? And if you can do that over and over and over again, you get to be at the point where not a lot can really faze you, because you're comfortable exactly where you are. So the podcast has drastically improved my ability to connect with others outside of the podcast, but mainly because I'm now more comfortable in my own skin than I've ever been in my entire life. Someone asked a great question. To what extent do I rely on intuition versus preparedness when asking questions? It's totally dependent. And it's dependent on the guest, and it's dependent on the moment. But I would say that I lean towards intuition, because I really want to, how could I possibly know the most interesting thing that's going to come out of that person's mouth when I haven't had the conversation. I haven't had the interview. So intuition plays a very important role in the process. And I've learned to deepen my own trust in my intuition as time has gone on and as I've done the podcast more and more. Right? Like when I started episode 8, and for the first few episodes, it was like, I'm not going to do any research. I'm going to be like Joe Rogan. I'm just going to ask questions. And then I realized it didn't feel good to just have a conversation for myself at that time being 25 years old. So I said, okay, let me get the most out of these. And I started doing real deep research. Episode 61, I did with Ali Abdallah. And I did so much research to the point where that wasn't fun either because I wasn't present. So I would say I lean more on intuition. I lean more on feel. I prepare diligently before the episode starts, but when it happens and when it flows, I'm using the research to inform the next question, but I'm not necessarily stuck in my ways. And to me, that those are so enjoyable when someone says something, it reminds me of something I uncovered in my research and I can just float it in there and they could be like, huh, yeah, I didn't see how that really connected, but now I see it. And making connections is really the heart of what it's all about. And so I could prepare 50 questions in a row, but to me that would lack some of the soul that I get from using my intuition. So that's one thing I've learned. Thomas Frank asked, what do you feel is your highest leverage activity for growing your show's audience? This is an amazing question. And Thomas is an incredible YouTuber in his own right. I think he's millions of subscribers and he is a very thoughtful, a great follow, Tom Frankly, on Twitter that I highly recommend. And what do you feel is your highest leverage activity for growing your show's audience? So this is a two-pronged answer. The first is that YouTube is probably the highest leverage activity, getting good at YouTube, understanding YouTube better, and dominating YouTube will lead to more growth for the show, I believe. In January of 2023, we did 25,200 YouTube video views. And in the past 3 months, we've been averaging over 100,000 YouTube video views, which is great. We 4X'd our growth, and that's exciting. But I will say that there's a 10X waiting to happen. And so while I think YouTube is the best place to 2X consistently month over month, I wonder if we updated the format of the show in some way, made it more clear for some people who hadn't checked out the podcast, what it would be or what it would be about, would 10X everything. And so the highest leverage activity for growing the show's audience is probably figuring out a way to make it more clear for people, this is what the show is. And I'm open to ideas. So at Hey Danny Miranda on Twitter, if you have ideas for ways that I can grow the show. Another lesson. It feels right from the beginning. So here's what I mean by this. It's like sometimes we have like this internal guiding system that's going on in our mind and our heart that knows the path. In July of 2020, I started doing phone calls with people. And those phone calls, they were a lot of fun. And I had so much fun in those phone calls and people had so much fun that I was like, I got to do this more and I got to record these. And so I started recording the phone conversations and those recorded phone conversations turned into a podcast. And I knew from the start, I genuinely knew from the start, I love doing this. And so this is episode 415, but I knew from episode 1, literally recording episode 2, that this was the right thing for me. Another thing, I had the idea for the podcast probably late July. By August, I was recording. I recorded 20 episodes before I launched a single episode in on September 23rd, 2020. So I think for a lot of people, yes, you have to struggle through some stuff, and I have to struggle through the podcast, and there are parts of it you struggle through, quote unquote, but the truth is it's fun. It's fun to do three episodes a week. It's fun to have three conversations a week. It's fun to be in my purpose three times every week. So of course it fits. Of course it makes sense. Of course it's easy to do because it's in my purpose. And so I was surprised looking back on it, like how easy it felt and how right it felt from the beginning. So that's something to keep in mind as you figure out your own passion, your own pursuit, your own thing that brings you joy is like, you probably will know from the beginning that it feels right. And it doing this podcast certainly felt right immediately. With that being said, another lesson that I learned is the flame has died a couple of times. And why did it die? It's died because, one, I didn't believe, and two, I went off purpose. I started this NFT podcast in late 2021, and or maybe it was late 2021, and it started because I didn't actually believe. It started because I questioned if I could actually do it. I questioned if I could actually make it work, and if I hadn't questioned it, I bet I'd be in Austin sooner. I bet I'd be further along the path. But I questioned it for a year. And I paid the price for that. And the major reason I questioned it was because there were people in my life. And some people in my life I really respected. But I trusted their opinions on what I was doing more than my own. And that to me is something to keep in mind for in the future of just because you respect someone doesn't mean you have to take their opinions and believe them to be your own. And the flame of belief died during that time, but thankfully we got it back. We got it back. And another lesson I've learned is that time in the game reflects your soul's mission. I've been doing this for 3 years. I got dropped a couple of times in this process by myself, by my own lack of belief. And if you're willing to stand up, even when it doesn't make sense to do so, that's reflective that there's something here for you to express in some way. There's something here for you to do. And I think that's why if we see somebody's put in 10 years in their career or they've been in a marriage for 20 years, it's like that is reflective of truth because of the time frame. Anyone can do anything for one day. Anyone can do anything for a month. But you can really only do something that's reflective of your soul's mission if you've done it for years or decades. That to me represents something deep within you, a calling that must be expressed. And I've started to look at that when I've been looking at guests is like, okay, how much time have they played in the game that they're playing right now? Because if they've played 5 years in this game, it's likely they're going to play in that game for another 5 years at least. And it's likely that learning that game has taught them something about their life and taught them about who they really are. Because if they didn't feel like it could, they would stop playing the game. I stopped playing baseball when I was 12 or 13 years old. I said to myself, I'm never going to be good enough to actually play this game at a high level. So what am I doing here? This isn't part of my soul's mission. My 12 or 13 year old self knew that. Inherently. That's why I stopped. And if I would have continued, even if I was bad at it, well, that would mean something about the game of baseball to my soul. So it's worth considering or looking at your own life. What activities are part of my soul's mission? Which things am I doing right now? Am I doing because I was put on this earth to do this thing? That's how I feel about doing this podcast. And when you have that belief, going back to the first lesson, belief, when you have that, it comes through you and people can feel you're on the path. You're on your path. You're doing the things that you're supposed to do. The 12th lesson is from Gary Vaynerchuk. And that is that the learnings from the process are more valuable than any monetary amount that you will get from playing the game of your soul's mission. And he didn't use the word soul's mission, but to me, it is so clear that the learnings that I've got from interviewing 400 of the most incredible entrepreneurs, thinkers, and people that I can talk to has given me so much in terms of relationships, in terms of interacting with people, being comfortable in my own skin, comfortable with presence, asking better questions. I mean, the education that I've got in the last 400 episodes, incredible. And so I think a lot of people are asking themselves, well, should I really do this YouTube channel? Should I really start writing this newsletter? Should I really spend time doing short form video on Instagram? Or like, the answer is yes. The answer is whatever you put into it, you will get out of it by way of learnings about yourself in ways that you can't possibly understand in this moment. And I've put so much of my life force into this podcast. And it's probably paid me back, not with monetary, but paid me back with love, with joy, 10 times that amount, 100 times that amount. And that to me, the learnings about how the different social media platforms work, the learnings about how a conversation works, the learnings about how to research someone, the learnings about how to be there with someone to give them space to work through their own issues. The learnings from that process that I've done from doing this podcast, insane, incredible, mind-blowing, and really impactful for my next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50 years. I don't know where life is going to take me, but I do know that the learnings from these first 3 years have been incredible in terms of how I'm able to hold an interview or conversation that's going on in the day-to-day. So that lesson is from Gary Vaynerchuk at the end of our episode, episode 39. You can insert the clip of him saying that right here.
This is going to help a ton of fucking youngsters, I think. I knew that the learnings from the process were going to be valuable enough for the entire commitment to time. I knew that I was going to do something innovative. I knew I was going to learn something. Think about it. I was doing YouTube long form. That was unheard of. I was using social media to promote it. That was super unheard of. I knew that I was going to get bigger into the tech world. I was front facing camera personality. I'd never done that in my goddamn life. I got a D in speech. I wasn't in drama. I was barely a class clown. This is, you know, so I knew that I was going to learn a lot about myself and things that could help me. And then I did it as long as I wanted to do it, which ended up being 5 fucking years, 5 days a week.
And now, lesson 13. What you do outside of the podcast impacts the podcast a lot. If you take your life seriously outside of the podcast, you will start to bring that into the show. If you do not do the things that you know you're capable of, people can feel that as well. And so there have been periods of my life over the past 3 years when I've been in alignment versus when I've been out of alignment. And maybe you can't tell, but I would venture to guess at a subconscious level, you could tell. And I could tell. That's the most important. It's like when you are fully in alignment, when your thoughts, your actions, and your words, because what you're getting from me on the show is the words. You're getting words. But perhaps you can feel at a deeper level, does Danny actually believe what he's asking? Does he actually believe what he's saying? And my belief is that what I'm doing outside of the podcast. Am I meditating? Am I working out? Am I eating right? Am I actually treating people I meet in my day-to-day life with love, kindness, respect, and try to get the most out of them? You could tell. I believe you can tell. And so I think this is something everyone should consider. Is like, you have this big meeting in tomorrow. Well, what you're doing that night impacts the meeting. What you do in the morning when you wake up impacts the meeting. What you do when you put food into your body impacts the meeting. And yes, you can have a successful meeting if you do all of those wrong. But if you were someone from who was acting in alignment with your highest version, how would that person handle the meeting? My guess is that the person who is handling the meeting the correct way is actually also going to be the person who goes to sleep at the right time, who wakes up at the right time, who eats the appropriate foods, who gets their workout in. All of that impacts the meeting in a positive way. And so we tend to view life as one moment, and we see one moment, only one moment, because we live in a world that can't possibly capture all the moments. We capture all the moments, but really only a few of those moments are seen. Like my interview with Alex Hormozi has been seen more times than pretty much any other interview I've done. So if that's the case, that's the one moment a lot of people know me as. But it's like, what was I doing right before the moment? Like a couple of things. One is I had an interview with Peter Krohn, who helped diagnose my mental in an amazing way. And check out that episode 378 to see the last 30 minutes of that. You see how he went through my mind. And then I went on a run directly after that interview. And then the interview with Alex was so much better than the interview would have been if I interviewed Alex in the morning prior to not getting my mind right or going for exercise. And I say that all because these big moments, they happen because you got the other moments right as well. The big moments happen right because the other moments are right as well. And that is one of the lessons from the show that I definitely did not expect. And that's been hugely impactful because it increases the stakes for the small moments, because the small moments are actually where you are setting the foundations for the moments that are eventually seen. The 14th lesson I've learned is that what games can you play where you are winning even if you're losing? You know, a lot of people say to me, Danny, your podcast should be seen by more people. There should be more viewers. There should be more attention on the show. It's incredible. I mean, I get that comment a lot. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, drop a comment down below. And if you're listening, go to YouTube and comment so that more people can see it. Because when more people watch the show, when more people comment on the show, more people will watch the show. So a lot of people say that to me, like, this podcast should be seen more. And I appreciate that. But to me, getting low views on videos doesn't count as losing. That's not losing to me. Because I'm winning by having these amazing interviews and building relationships with some of my heroes. And people I just want to be friends. So I don't view the losses. The wins are so much greater than the losses. And I think for you watching, for you listening, it's asking yourself, how can I win at whatever I'm playing, even if I lose? It's an important thing to think about. You are going to make decisions in the future. And I think more people would do things differently if their losing scenario wasn't actually that bad. Their losing scenario was actually something that was also a win, which mine is in this case, and I'm very grateful. And then the last lesson I've learned is you can actually reach out to, you can actually connect with people who change your life in some way. You know, when I started the journey, it was almost like I was sitting in the audience and the people who I admired were sitting on the stage and they were above me and I was looking up at them and I was imagining, wow, life must be great on that stage, or wow, I hope that person comes down on that stage and shakes my hand. And the show has brought me face to face with the people I admire, face to face. And what I've realized is that there's no stage. The podcast might seem like a stage to you in this moment. It's not. It's just one human being talking to another human being and really walking our way home. We are walking our way to the end. And we are trying to make all of it make sense, filled with meaning, filled with purpose. And because of that, I've learned love. I've learned that if you can give someone a new perspective, you can give them love. If you can ask them questions or connect with them in a real way, you can give them love. And to me, I don't know something better than what to devote myself to than this. Giving people love, not only giving the person I'm talking to or asking questions to love, hopefully giving you, someone listening or watching, love, but also giving myself love, because I get such a high off giving people and helping people understand and come to new perspectives. So this show has given me so much, 415 episodes deep. If you would like to support the show, you can go to artofinterviewing.com. That is the place where I've put 3,000 hours of learnings about how to podcast, about how to interview, into one resource. And artofinterviewing.com is that resource. But if you don't want to get that, also great. I'm just here because I want to help ignite more love in people's hearts, in people's minds, in people's souls. The podcast is how I've done that. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I will continue putting out episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I'm so grateful for you on the other end for watching or for listening. Until next time, to your success, have a great one.